responsibility, all things being equal, to preside over the chairmanship of the portfolio on tourism for the next 5 years. On my left, it is the administrator of the committee, Mr. Boltino. On my right, it is Dr. Kuzwayo, who is the content advisor of the portfolio committee. On the right of the seats of this small room of ours, it is the members of the portfolio committee. As I've indicated, the rest of the people who are here are both from the department and the portfolio committee. We have an agenda for today. You are welcome, Comrade Minister. Comrade Honorable Minister, thank you very much. Our agenda for today is a briefing by SAT on the fourth quarter performance report for financial year 2018-2019. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, in terms of the document called the Public Finance Management Act, PFMA, we have to be getting these reports as required by that particular act. But we will not just be doing it for compliance. We'll also be looking at the quality of work that we do. So without wasting time, I will ask the members just to introduce themselves quickly.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, colleagues, and happy Tourism Month in the month of September. My name is Lusizo Makubela Mashele. I am deployed to this Portfolio Committee on Tourism representing the African National Congress.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen and colleagues. My name is Melina Gomba, the member of the committee, of the Standing Committee on Tourism. Thank you very much.
Morning, colleagues. My name is Zamukolo Peter, from the African National Congress, deployed in this committee. Thank you very much.
Moleni Nonke, I am Sheila Tembalang Kago, a member of the committee. Not all is well with us. What is happening to our young girls and young women is also affecting us, as we are stated here. Thank you. I think the country will have a solution to what is happening. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Hewani Muteka from the Economic Freedom Fighters. Thank you.
I'm Hewani Muteka, deployed to this committee by the African National Congress. Thank you, Chair.
Sanbonan, igama ngukhetha amabala ngokwasithola. Ngithunywe iqembu lenkatha yenkululeko yesizwe. Ngiyimemba yekomiti. Thank you very much.
Morning, everyone. My name is Hlanganani Gumbi, member of the portfolio committee from the DA.
Morning, Chair. My name is Manny Traitors from the member of the committee. Thank you.
Morning, Chair. My name is Dr. Rufuno Marwala, advisor to the Minister.
Morning, Chair. Morning, honourable members of the committee. My name is Kate Rivett-Karnak, and I'm a board member of South African Tourism.
Good morning, honourable Chairperson, honourable members, Minister. My name is Victor Tarage. I'm the Director General for the Department.
Morning, Chair, honourable members, colleagues, board members of SAT. My name is Mamoloko Kubai Mzibani, Minister of Tourism.
Council, Good morning, honorable members. My name is Nombulelo Guliwe, and I'm the Chief Financial Officer at South African Tourism.
Okay. You can see. Yeah, they
Good morning, Minister, DC members. I'm Pedro Zunica. I'm the parliamentary liaison officer and the office of the director general to tourism.
I'm Leslie Peterson. I'm the work for the, I'm the secretary for the work.
Good morning, honorable chair, honorable members. Minister, I'm Anime Milan. I'm a DDG in the Department of Tourism, responsible for, amongst others, public entity oversight.
Morning, everybody. Ismail Hussain from PMG.
Morning, all. Sandra Loni, research support to the committee.
Morning, honorable chair, honorable members, minister. My name is Don Lachefu, and I am a board member of South African Tourism.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members, Minister. My name is Amanda Kushan Sopo, South African Tourism, the National Convention Bureau here.
Good morning, honourable chairperson, Minister, members.
I am Kubule Molebisa from South African Tourism.
Good morning, honourable chair, honourable members, honourable minister, DG. My name is Siyabonga Dube, board member of the Tourism.
Good morning, chair. Good morning, honourable members. My name is Languta Armstrong Manganyi from the Department of Tourism.
Good morning, chair, members of the committee and the minister. My name is Paul Masimula, parliamentary liaison officer for minister.
Thank you very much, Baya Danki, honorable members and ladies and gentlemen. One of the things that we will have to include in our statement, our media license officer, is what honorable T.S. raised during the introduction. The scourge, the onslaught, the barbaric, unwarranted, unconstitutional attacks on women and children. The scourge seems to be on the ascendancy in the country. And in terms of our effort to rebrand, reposition and renew South Africa, it doesn't speak of very well of us as a country. So I'm sure we will all in unison agree that as a committee we need to condemn that and call on all South Africans to rise against this sketch of these barbaric acts which are happening in our country. The second thing, which is also affecting our rebranding, repositioning and renewal of our country through tourism, is what is happening in some parts of the country around this acts of criminality. I don't want to call them xenophobia. These acts of criminality which are going on in KZN, in Gauteng, because they are camouflaged as many other things, but actually it's acts of criminality which are going on. They are not speaking well of the country. They are projecting the country in a bad light. When you look at South Africa from the outside, you'll think the country is on fire. So I will suggest also that at the end, that is what we will include in our statement as part of communicating a resolve by the committee to be part of all efforts that are there to rid the country of these negative things which are going on now. We are now going to give over to the minister to do an opening for us so that an opportunity can be given to SAT to present the report. I must just indicate, honorable members, that in my discussion with the minister, in the course of the discussions, she will be allowed to excuse us from the meeting, because there is something unavoidable which is department related which she has to attend to. And thanks for coming, Minister. I know the pressure that you are under, but thanks for making sure that you come here. So I'm handing over to you now to start. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. And happy Tourism Month to all of us with the portfolio and the sector in the country. Indeed, Chair, let me start firstly by apologizing. I thought that the DM will be here. Unfortunately, he's not well, he's taken ill. And the SAT acting CEO is abroad on a roadshow. What I must say, the chairperson of the board is not here. I have not accepted the apology from the chair as the minister because I found it unacceptable and I've conveyed my message to him, to her. But the issue which I need to raise, Chair, is the legacy issues. The chair explains that previously she was never expected to appear before the committee for quarterly reports. So that's why she never made provision for this. That's the explanation. So I am a former chair of a committee, and I was saying to the colleagues, I used to send people back when a chair of a committee didn't arrive with a CEO. So thank you for not sending us back. That's why I made it an effort to come here, because neither of them are there. But there are board members who are here who will assist us in accounting, Chair. But I need to say up front that indeed from my side as the minister, I did not accept the apology of the chairperson of the board. Chairperson, indeed, we are responsible for the brand, and I'm just echoing your sentiment. We are responsible for the brand South Africa. And in the context of what is happening, starting from issues of violence against women, the attacks, it just makes it difficult to sell products in Africa. And that's the message that we have to convey across. Continuously, you are finding difficulty because people ask, we're in Tanzania, and we're asked, why do you hate other nations? And that's the message we continuously try to convey to South Africans to understand the impact of actions in the sense of impacting on the economy and impacting on the jobs. Because if tourists don't come, we lose jobs. Tourism is one of the key areas where we are able to make a meaningful contribution and has been growing currently. So we echo those sentiments and chairperson in terms of the current happening in the country. Chairperson, the board members, when they present, they will explain how far we are with the issue of the CEO, Susan Chona. You'd understand the last time I interacted with the committee, I did make a commitment that we'll interact and ensure that I've given deadlines to the board in terms of finalizing. I did receive a report of the investigation concluded. And I signed off a concurrence on the 15th of July, and the board, so that the board can take process from there, so they will explain from that point what is happening. Chairperson, again, we're presenting this fourth quarter report, and I must say up front, we're sitting at 54% performance. I was saying to the team, it's my daughter's score almost. It's not what we want, where we want to be. We're doing our best, Chairperson, up front to turn the corner. We've had our strategic plan, both from ministerial and board level, to look at things that we need to do differently. And going forward, as we come, we'll continuously convey that, because we're concluding this part of the past year, where we were starting to look at the 5 in 5 strategy, working implementation. We'll be able to account later as we come fully in October, Chair, for the annual report, to account fully to say this is how we've done, where we think we are improving, and the things we've noticed. But today as well, the team led by Daryl and the CFO, will actually highlight where we've been able to do things, we are doing things differently. But again, they will also explain if there are gaps in terms of the report. I'm yet to meet with the SAT chair by tomorrow to get the annual report together with the audit outcome. So as we come for the BRRR, we'll account fully. So I'm just saying the context of the presentation, Chairperson. We are giving in the presentation out areas where we've not met our target, the reasons and what we are doing about it. So that's my overview. I don't want to take long, Chair, but just to appreciate the opportunity. And also, if, Chair, possible, if there are any questions directed to me, I'm willing to take them before I'm released through you, Chairperson, just up front so that I can.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. We welcome other colleagues who have joined us in the course of the meeting. The Honorable Member who has joined us is Honorable April on the extreme right here. That's Honorable April. Honorable April, I see your colleague, the Honorable De Freitas, is saying you must sit here. He likes being holy. Yeah. Over to you, SAT. Or HOD, I don't know who is going to start. Over to you, yeah.
Not the chair.
Sorry.
Chairperson, honourable members.
Sorry, chair. Sorry, chair. Sorry for interrupting. I have the minister saying if there's questions, there are questions directly to her. We can raise them maybe before we start because she's going to leave. So I thought you were going to offer us that opportunity.
Oh, I thought the minister was saying on the basis of the presentation that is going to be done. Or was it on the opening remarks you are making? I thought you were just making opening remarks. Yes.
Oh, okay.
But that was my understanding. But if there is something you want to, as the minister, she's quite capable of dealing with them now. It's okay, Honorable Mutek?
It is not about not being capable or not. It's what she asked, in fact, because she said if there is direct questions to me, because I'm going to leave the meeting, let them come. Mine is not really a question. It's a plea due to what is happening in the country, and then we can't be serving the portfolio committee of tourism and her being the minister of tourism, and there is this huge violence going around and there's nothing special that we are doing as a collective. We have to do something. This black on black violence happening outside there, in the name of xenophobic or whatever, it qualifies us to do something extraordinary. What are we doing as the stakeholders of tourism? Because the whole thing is blocking us, it's failing us. We have to do something. So I'm throwing the ball to the minister before she goes, and I know later on we'll still engage further on this matter. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Honorable Mutega. Honorable De Freitas.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted just to echo that, but it is bigger than just tourism. So I'd urge the minister perhaps to talk to cabinet colleagues and that government come out with some kind of message, because it's not only impacts on tourism, but business, our image, investors that would be interested in the country and so forth. And I feel that government isn't responding enough. There isn't a loud enough, I mean, excepting for the Minister of Police is on the ground, and good for him, we're not seeing anything else. And I feel we do need to. do something, because it's going to impact on tourism, but not only tourism. So I don't want to just say that it's the minister's responsibility. I'm urging her to talk to her colleagues, and I would say even the president himself needs to say something. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I think in the previous week we had a meeting between tourism department as well as safety and security, and such issues were raised in terms of protection of our tourists in South Africa against crime. Therefore, I would like to bring this to the attention of the committee that that has been already dealt with in the previous week. Thank you.
Chair, as part of branding, I think that those beautiful emblems can sit well in your jacket and on mine as well.
Tourism family. We are family. We are one.
Brand.
Brand South Africa.
Thanks, Chairperson. Mine, colleagues and honourable members, is just to commend on the good work that the minister has been doing thus far since she has been appointed in this important portfolio. She has been on a road drive that talks to tourism stakeholders on the issues of crime. So she, just to applaud you for lifting those issues, Minister, and ensuring that South Africa does, or the stakeholders within tourism, start to have an engagement around the issues that affect tourism and the impact of crime in the tourism sector. I must also commend the work that the minister has been doing since Tourism and Heritage Month. In September, I've seen her on a road drive. I've seen her wearing her shitonga, and engaging with our stakeholders and traditional council, Inkosi Nwamitwa, in Zanin. It's very commendable, and we've seen, as this portfolio committee, Honourable Minister, that you are actually putting tourism back on the stage where it is supposed to be. And South Africans are busy and starting to engage. We must also, in the same vein, commend the portfolio committee for also taking the initiative or the tune from what the minister has been doing in calling the colloquium that we had last week, in so that we start the conversation, because unfortunately, issues of crime are societal matters.
Yeah.
You know, it cannot be that the Minister of Tourism will do something on issues of crime, but it's supposed to be all of us and our stakeholders and our communities to start engaging and saying what crime does to our fellow Africans, to our economy. So we must applaud you for the good work thus far, but also in the same vein, condemn the current situations that are happening in the country, the femicide and the violence against women. I think when we begin to speak with one voice and speak for the condemnation of such crimes, it is only where South Africans, or in South Africans' minds, it will sink in that we as parliamentarians here are talking strongly against such atrocities that are perpetuated into our communities. It's a comment, Honourable Minister, to say you are really on a tune that we've liked the vibrancy, the youthfulness in you engaging with stakeholders and ensuring that you put tourism on the agenda. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable. Marshall, Bob.
You
got to talk. Thank you, Honourable Chair. I have my proposal to the minister that if they can actually issue a joint statement with other ministers about this criminality that is happening in the country. I think it help actually to boost the economy and the society at large. Thank you, Chair.
Nyabonga, Honourable Sithole. Honourable Apres.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is that I believe that I want to concur with what the House says as it pertains to the current state of violence that is happening in Gauteng and in other places. However, I would also like to say that we need to take a posture of collectively engaging our constituencies and discouraging this thing. It can't be a minister or just a president. We are saying we are sitting here in Parliament representing constituencies who have voted for us to represent them. And if we are saying that, it means each one of us has got a responsibility to also in the individual capacity, whether you are a minister or just a member of the committee, to discourage the scourge that is currently happening in the country. We cannot abdicate our responsibility and become finger pointers when it comes to issues of national importance. We will have to become ones that play a critical and an active role, where we've got access to our social media and other media and speaking to our communities. We are going to have to take responsibility as members of parliament. But also, Minister, back to the other issue is, I'm wondering where is this thing of short left? I'm missing that short left thing. It has done a lot for domestic tourism. And I have raised it before, and now that you are here, I want to raise it again. I want that short left thing because it is really assisting, and it's bringing to South Africans what are the possibilities in our country, and where can I share such short left? And that is mine. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Abrel. So we extended short left.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on a lighter note. Honorable Comrade Minister, goodbye.
Thank you very much, Chair. Appreciating the feedback and the comments, indeed all of us want, as the issues are. My understanding is that the security cluster is looking at the matter. They will be responding urgently to the issues. You would know that Minister Bekele has been very vocal and what he thinks how the matter should be defined. And because we are guided by them from the security cluster in the response comprehensively, but we do agree that this is not normal. It's not normal. It can't be treated as normal.
Yeah.
Indeed, it's a black on black violence. I mean, we're fighting against each other. We're fighting against our own brothers. But also even calling for responsible articulation as leaders. Because sometimes it's things that we say that leads to some of this. Let's have Chair. Some of the discussion is our understanding as South Africans of who we are and where we come from. You know, taking note of that we did not reach where we are, for example, without the support of the continent and global support. While we're not saying people must act in criminality, so we must isolate the issues of criminality. But broadly, I think it's the issue of us being able to turn around our economy and having people finding jobs. Because the other element that is impacting on South Africans, it's the pressure and the depression of being out of work, finding difficulty, and therefore the perception that I am not able to live a better life that my country has promised me. And somebody comes from another country and therefore benefits. So we need to comprehensively respond to quite a number of issues so that we can have stability in our country, because once we do not, and this is what we keep on emphasizing even around the issue of transformation, unless we have an inclusive economy where everybody has a meaningful role to play, we will become an unstable country.
Yeah.
This is the most important thing. So as we do our work even in tourism, part of our responsibility is to contribute towards inclusive growth, inclusive economic development, where majority of South Africans can feel part of being part of this economy, therefore do not have to destabilize, because it's a sabotage to the economy. When something like this happens, you're hitting on the economy. I mean, I saw a statement issued by Total where they were saying that they are not going to be driving, delivering anything because of the safety of their drivers. You're going to run out of petrol. I saw a statement by Minister of Transport in Zambia who issued a statement to say for now they are asking all their truck drivers of Zambia to be parked. Now, that's the economy that is coming to a standstill. So we've got to be broadly able. So we are doing that analysis, members. We are aware of this. And hence our view, even from cabinet, as colleagues, we are talking. We're meeting tomorrow at cabinet, but some of the things will have to happen today. But as we interact with each other, we're taking cognizance on some of the things that the impact it has. Somebody might look at it at face value. When you shut down Gauteng, the impact economically, because it's trade that stops, it's huge. So we've got to be able to look in that context, and the response definitely will be in that context as well. And thank members and Honorable Mashele, honestly, appreciate the feedback. It always helps to know, Chair, that you are on the right track. It's feedback that gives us, we'll do continue to do our best to make sure that we lift our portfolio. We do believe that this is one of the portfolios that South Africans must be talking about. It's a portfolio that everybody can associate with. And therefore, more inclusive, more players, more, and I was thinking about Chair, about you, when I was in Tzaneen, about the small Dorpie.
Yeah.
And seeing that lodge, I shared on social media, the quality of service, I was telling you in feedback, the quality of service, the cleanness of the place, run by a black woman, young, not even old, young black woman. And the place continues to grow. It's got facilities for conferencing, it's got accommodation, it's got lodging, it's got facilities for weddings, somebody was preparing for their 20th anniversary there. It's beautiful. Right in there. So it's possible, it's doable. Actually, because I was with Minister Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma there, she was even querying. I told Darren, I said, Minister Nkosazana was saying, no, this can't be three stars, it must be four stars, you know, because of the service, because of what she has experienced. Mm. And this gives hope, Chair, that when we make meaningful impact and support this, it's part of the issues that, so we're relying on you as well as you visit, you do your oversight, to give us feedback so that we continue to improve. Especially in this tourism month, we'll do quite a try our best to do quite a lot. Indeed, Honorable April, we need to continue to improve on our short left campaign. We've acknowledged up front the communication, and I think those who listened to me on when I was on 405, I did raise a concern that we are cognizant that we are not yet doing enough to market Product South Africa, though now Product South Africa is being damaged by what is happening.
Mm.
But Product South Africa is a good product that we must manage to every household. We must sell to South Africans and globally. So we'll be as well utilizing this month effectively to run campaigns, to up the game that we are reviewing. We've now appointed at SAT our Chief Marketing Officer. All of us are excited about it. Because this is a person who ordinarily drives the campaigns, who is able to say, this campaign now is flat, no longer yielding results, therefore we need a new campaign. So it started with the 1st of September, Chair, I can say, and we're looking forward to it. And also, Chair, we'll be sending an invite this week for Tourism Day celebration, which will be in KZN on the 27th of September, so that members of the committee can join us. So we'll make sure that it arrives on time. I've said to Paul that we need to get it either by today or tomorrow latest so that the committee can have enough time to prepare. But we'd appreciate the committee joining us so that we are able to have the celebrations together. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable Minister, that will be helpful around the launch because between myself and Honorable Makubela, we have agreed that our oversight, we will make sure that it goes concurrent with what you will be doing. So that maybe for a week we try and be in KZN there, and then it culminates into your activity where the committee will be. So it will be helpful if we get that, as you say, by tomorrow. The second thing is on these things that are going on in the country. I'll suggest that you also speak to the Minister of Intelligence. Because it can be that every time the country is caught off guard, for many other reasons that you, members of the executive, you will discuss on your own. so that from a communications point of view, we are able to do preemptive messaging based on whatever analysis that will have been made. The third thing will be on, I know you were in a meeting with SADC ministers of tourism. I think some much more impact-making message must come from SADC. Because if SADC is one around some of the challenges that we are facing, at least we'll have a much bigger voice that can make a much bigger impact. The fourth thing will be on all these forums that are existing. Nigerians have got a forum, Angolans have a forum, Ghanaians have a forum, Zimbabweans, there are all these forums in South Africa. And I think time has come for us to discuss with these forums, whilst they want to be exclusive, whether it will not be helpful for them to run them in a way that allows everybody else to participate and influence the thinking in those forums, so that you don't discuss as Ghanaians based in Johannesburg, but rather you discuss as Africans being in another part of Africa, which is Johannesburg, because we can't be reinforcing messages of Afro-pessimism. Afro-pessimism doesn't help, because that's one of the agendas we need to defeat as Africa. And maybe at an AU level, as you discuss with the colleagues there, maybe time has come for us as the AU and speak as Africa on some of the challenges that we are facing. As far as I'm concerned, which I can say in another platform, not this one, I don't think these developments are innocent. People can just wake up in the morning and feel like touching trap, you know, a feeling of touching a trap. And then you just feel like going and harassing women or harassing our other African brothers and sisters. So I think some careful analysis will have to be done so that we have a comprehensive response. Around the awards in tourism, please go and look at the possibility of introducing, so that it's peers for peers, awards for tourism in villages, so that villagers must compete with villagers, townshipers with townshipers, small dorpy people with small dorpy people, and the big cities must compete with big cities, because if the awards are going to be such that we people from Tanzania must be competing with people who are exultant, and so on. The disparities are so huge. So if we just compare apples with apples and become innovative, I think it will motivate our people, like where you were in Tanin. If that person is to compete with people at her level, I think it will uplift the this. And I'm happy that on TV, in your interview a day before yesterday, you delved into that issue and how the department is going to be making sure that people who are in the periphery of the economy of tourism are going to be brought to the center. And I think it will be very, very helpful. The minister did get a positive response from the anchor there to say you speak like you've been in the department for 10 years. It's not me, I'm just quoting him. But we echo the sentiment, as our WIP was saying, that indeed we are happy that you hit the ground running, and all evidence is there for all to see. Those who have got their eyes can see, those who have got their ears can hear, and so on. And we'll support you. That's why we said, now we are adopting a reciprocative oversight to our work. Where we need to be critical, yes, we'll be critical. But we're not going to be unnecessarily antagonistic. Even where good work is being done, we're just going to lambast the department for nothing. And thanks for being candid with us on issues of discipline in the department and the SAT, what you expressed around the absence of some of the important persons in this meeting, including the chairperson. So that we leave it in your capable hands. We are now going to get into the presentation at a time where you think you need to depart. There's no date on your bidi anarfar khadarantaka. Can the Africans Prime Minister? Me can. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. At least you know how to refuse.
Yeah.
Hey, good luck, Minister, in the other meeting. Okay. Over to you, the team.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. As the Minister said, our acting CE is on a roadshow at the moment. This is part of our supercharge strategy. So she's gone with South African Travel Trade, so tour operators and others, some of the major players, and they're meeting with our main trade partners and other major tour operators who send people on holidays and around the world. And I'm sure that we'll get some feedback from her on what they're saying right now in terms of the news about South Africa and some of their concerns and perhaps even some ideas around strategies of how we communicate from a tourism perspective. I thought I should just mention that our two new board members, Zola Chefu and Siyabonga Dube, who stood up and introduced themselves, have only been with us for about nearly a month, not even a month. And they have been to, they've been to the departmental Lekgotla. They came to our Lekgotla, our strategic planning Lekgotla's board, which we had 2.5 weeks ago. And it's really good to have them here at the portfolio committee. Then just to update you perhaps on a few things. So we have the quarterly full report today that we're tabling with you. There have been changes subsequent to that.
Sorry for the interjection. New members to the board, we welcome you.
Thank you.
Yes, we look forward to working with you productively. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Chair. We are also very pleased to have them on board. So just to update you, so you have the quarterly full report, which we'll go through. There have been changes subsequent to this report. As the Minister indicated, she's having the annual report presented to her tomorrow by our chairperson. And once that is tabled formally, we can update you on those issues. But two things to just let you know. So we're very pleased to have confirmed our chief financial officer, who is now there, Nombalelo Guliwe, and I think you might be presenting a bit later. And then also, as mentioned, our chief marketing officer, he started yesterday.
Okay.
Which is why I'm sure he isn't here, because there is lots that he needs to get his head around in the office. He's Mr. Temba Kamalo, and he is very experienced. In fact, he was at SA Tourism many years ago, so he knows SA Tourism, which is a great advantage for us, and has been in the corporate and the SOE environment. So we are looking forward to having a CMO back, full-time CMO, dedicated CMO, as I'm sure the executive are as well, because they've been carrying the load. And then just to give you an update on our CEO, so as the Minister said, she gave us concurrence to go ahead with disciplinary action. We had a delay because we had to get approval from National Treasury around extension of our legal services for the disciplinary hearing. So we have now received that. It is regrettable that there was a delay, but as you can appreciate, we had to follow the PFMA. We really didn't have any room to move there. And we now have the dates for our disciplinary hearing, the CE, in about 10 days' time, and so everything is on track there again. And then the last thing to mention is, as I said, we haven't finalized the annual report with the Minister. That meeting happens tomorrow. We did have our final management report from the Auditor General yesterday. And there are some findings in there that we will have to bring to this committee in our annual report, and that might have some changes in terms of the audit findings. But that needs to come through the proper process, Chair, once it's been signed off by our Minister. And so that's really the kind of quick updates.
and I want to hand over to the team to take you through some of the detail. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I hope everybody can hear me. You good? Yep. So I've been tasked in the absence of the acting CEO just to run you through our report. I will handle a couple of the slides and then hand over to our CFO to speak to the financial performance and then end off just afterwards with the rest of the presentation. So first of all, looking at overview for across the globe, as you can see for the period under review, which is January to March 2019, we saw a 3% decline in international arrivals. Clearly evident on the map, you will see the biggest culprit is to the Europe, and we'll speak a little bit later to some of the actions specifically underway at the moment to address that. We did have some nice growth coming from North America. It's off quite a big base, so even a 1.4% growth is nice to see, and some growth out of Asia, although just under a percentage point, and then obviously Indian Ocean Islands as well. As I mentioned, this is a 3% decline year-on-year against the 2018 figures. Just having a look at the snapshot, first starting off with the rest of the world, working on the slide from right to left. As mentioned, the international arrivals declined by 3% to 2.7 million. The target for the quarter was 3.1, and as I said, for the period under review, we managed to achieve a 2.7. Africa was down quite substantially, 1.8%, but we have also noted on the slide that there were some areas and some countries where we did experience actually positive growth, speaking to the likes of Kenya, Uganda, Ghana, and so on. Collectively, as you mentioned, a 6.3% decline from the rest of the world. North America up 1.4%, Europe down 8.5%. As I mentioned, the acting CEO is in Europe at the moment with a delegation of trade partners to address some of the challenges that we're encountering, both from a barriers perspective, but also just to see if we can change perceptions and also smooth out the way in which we engage with our international trade to make buying South Africa and marketing South Africa so much easier. So as a snapshot, that's our international arrivals for the period under review. Moving then to the domestic market or the domestic space, again, snapshot for the period under review, working from left to right on the slide. Total number of domestic trips, so this is not holiday trips, it's total trips, was up to 4.8 million. That's 27.2% increase for the period under review. If you then look at domestic holiday trips, also please to note that our quarter target was 600,000 domestic holiday trips, and we managed to achieve in that particular period 1.1 million. It shows and translates into a 65% increase year-on-year for domestic holiday trips, which is a really nice statistic, really proud of that. And then from a MICE perspective, also some nice growth coming out of the MICE segment in the domestic space. Moving then on to the South African National Convention Bureau, and specifically looking at the performance from a bid submitted perspective, just if I can highlight on this slide, under the regional spread, there is a small error there. The Western Cape submitted a total of 11 bids, not 110 bids. There's just an additional zero there, which is quite an important zero. But just to take you through the bids submitted, a total number of 22 submissions done for the quarter, 14 association bids, 2 incentive bids, 3 exhibition bids, and 3 for corporate meetings. You can see on the right-hand side of the slide, regional spread, and then down the bottom as well, giving you some sort of indication as to the cities that are involved. The big metropolitan areas, the Cape Town, Johannesburg, still leading in terms of the number of bids supported. And then we've also got some interesting new additions, the like of Zanin, Mokopane, and Limpopo, and so on, also coming to the fore, which is nice to see. Moving then on to grading performance for quarter four. We closed out the quarter on just short of 5,200 graded establishments. It is off target, but it is representing a 2% year-on-year growth for the number of graded establishments. And we also track very closely the number of graded rooms, and it was a 6% increase year-on-year from a graded rooms perspective. We're seeing quite a lot of growth in the space of the game lodge category, as well as some nice growth coming from hotels as well as the lodges. From a regional spread perspective, some nice growth coming out of Gauteng, as well as the Northern Cape, even though off a relatively small base. And Limpopo province also seeing some nice growth. Slight declines in the way of the KZN and Western Cape area. Western Cape by far our biggest province by numbers, so 2% is quite significant in that perspective. Also noting that in many cases in the areas where we've seen a decrease in membership, often is as a result of the smaller properties, so your SMMEs, bed and breakfast and so on. Then moving on to our summary of our APPs. I'm sure the committee is familiar with all of our strategic goals as well as our strategic objectives, which are then underlined by the different programs. Programs of corporate support, leisure tourism, business events, business enablement, and tourist experience. What we will do in the coming slides is just outline each of the KPIs as well as our performance against targets. As a high-level summary, the Minister spoke in her opening remarks, we managed to achieve, and you'll see that in the next slide, just over 50% of all the KPIs. What we have done here using the legend on the right-hand side is indicated to all the members in green those that we have achieved, red those that we have not achieved, and the ones indicated in amber are those that we have made and seen considerable work being done, but we're still not quite on target. I'm not going to go through them in detail here because we will address them individually as we go down. Just as an overview, as the Minister alluded, we managed to achieve 14 of our KPIs for the particular period under review, 52%. 19%, five of them we've seen quite considerable improvement, and then eight of them are yet to be achieved and work being taken place to address that. Then on to the individual KPIs and performance. Corporate support, which is our program one. The staff satisfaction scores for the quarter were concluded. We're happy to say we have met target, exactly target for that particular KPI. Percentage vacancy rate also having met target, and compliance in terms of the Employment Equity Act, also targets have been met in that respect. We submitted towards the middle of the quarter to the Department of Labor in terms of all the targets and performance against those. Unqualified audit, as mentioned by both the board member and the minister, these particular figures that you are seeing are as at the end of March, so they are unaudited figures. Those will be included at a later stage together with the annual performance report or annual APP. The one I want to highlight here is the lowest, the one on the bottom of the page, our triple BEE level. We achieved the level 4, or rather than level 8 and the target of level 4. I know the CFO will maybe mention it in her remarks, but we are doing quite a lot of work in order to address that particular non-achievement. The stakeholder satisfaction score also were concluded for in the month, in the quarter. We were slightly off the target. Again, this is something that the roadshow that the acting CEO is on across Europe to address, partnering more with our trade and making sure that we equip them sufficiently to enable them to follow on what we're doing from an awareness and from a positivity perspective with actual, you know, deals and commercial transactions taking place to get business to South Africa and to get travellers to South Africa. Moving on to the next one, number of international tourist arrivals. As I mentioned in the opening slides under the snapshot, we are off target on international arrivals, the biggest culprit being Europe. Again, as I mentioned, there is a number of activities that are taking place to address this, the roadshow being one of them. We've also identified as part of our strategic planning specific key markets that South African Tourism has identified and will be putting specific emphasis on and plans in place to address, and specific areas, niche markets as well, that are found across the globe which we are going to be targeting. Enhanced focus also from a domestic perspective is part of the activities that both the team as well as the new CMO will be highlighting as we move forward. Although we didn't meet numbers from a target perspective for international arrivals, we did meet the target from international spend, so the total tourist foreign direct spend managed to overachieve or outperform by 7.5%, so that has a direct impact on the economy, which we are pleased to report. In terms of geographic spread, we were 1% above target in terms of geographic spread. We monitor this very closely to ensure that as part of our job of selling South Africa, all the provinces get as much benefit from tourism as possible, and we try and through our hosting and many other platforms ensure that we are showing off various different itineraries as well as different attractions, experiences from all 9 provinces. Seasonality is something we also track. We were just off target, so 0.01% off target in this particular case. Seasonality is our way of trying to address the low seasons in the various different provinces, and again working with through marketing but also different trade partners to address this, as well as hosting international media in the off season to see the benefit and cost benefit often of traveling in low season is something we are doing regularly. Brand positivity is a score and a metric that we take from our brand surveys. Very pleased to say that we are bang on target in terms of our brand positivity scores. Brand awareness is slightly off target, just 1% below target. And again, something that the South African tourism team, executive team, as well as the brand and marketing team are working hard with the now new CMO to address and make sure that we achieve our targets of brand awareness. The number of total trips, this is, as I said, from a domestic perspective. The South African tourism domestic team are more influential in terms of holiday trips, but we record and track total trips as well. Quite a long way off target from a domestic trip perspective. Holiday trips, although we had a really, really good quarter four, if you're looking at an overall picture, we're slightly behind, 6% behind our target for the year. Again, a small light at the end of the tunnel, although we were slightly down on the domestic trips, the domestic holiday trips, as well as total domestic trips, we have seen an increase in the total domestic spend, 10% in total domestic spend, and a 36% outperformance in the domestic holiday revenue, which is a very positive impact as well. Geographic spread, as I've mentioned, we are focused on making sure that all provinces benefit from tourism and get their fair share of tourism. We're slightly behind here on the target. We're working very closely and have a number of forums with both the provincial tourism agencies and the different products in the provinces to address this. The seasonality index is a target we have achieved, as well as we're very proud to say that our support and the attendance of SMEs at the various trade shows and platforms that are owned by South African Tourism is again exceeding target. If you look at how we utilize our small to medium enterprises in our hosting activities, so this would be hosting for international media, and hosting for international trade delegations, again outperforming significantly here in terms of how we are utilizing them, giving them opportunity to be part of these hostings and again give them that exposure that they deserve to both international media and international trade. The number of business events hosted for this particular quarter under the business event program, again, a very good outperformance, 207 achieved in the period against a target of 153, that's a 35% outperformance. The number of international delegates hosted for the particular period under review, just over 86,000 against, or rather 87,000 against a target of 86,000, so again, a good outperformance here. Number of bids supported below target for quarter four, but definitely as a total, as a running total for the year, again, achievement of target and outperformance by 4%. The only one here in Durban, Meetings Africa, we very closely monitor the revenue that we generate from these particular platforms, and we are behind target, or we're behind target for the particular year in question. Then moving on to the number of graded establishments, unfortunately not a very pretty picture. The number of graded establishments, the targets are a rolling target and have been rolling for a number of years. And as a result, the targets have got quite far away from us. So you see that come through as a result in the in performance against targets. That said, we are seeing an increase. And as I mentioned in the beginning, we have had a 2% increase year on year for graded establishments, as well as a 6% number of graded rooms growth year on year. Because of the non-performance against targets, we're seeing a negative performance against the grading revenue created. But that said, we have created, or rather generated, just over 21, almost 22 million rand in fees for the particular period in question. I'm going to hand over to our CFO to deal with the financial performance, and I will take you through the remainder of the presentation shortly.
Okay, thank you very much. The first picture for the first presentation started with a, you see the Beetle, that car.
The image?
Yeah, the image.
I'm not sure, we'll have to check.
Yeah, and then this one is a young man with his hands in the pockets. And the socks is modern. I'm just trying to link this with
sometimes vintage is still in
trend. Yes, I can see. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank
how much
you
see
thank you, Chair.
CFO. Not CEO, no. CFO.
CFO.
Yeah. I was Nombulan.
This slide shows our revenue, so our total funding that was available for marketing in 1819. I have to reiterate that these are pre-audited figures. We have the audit report, so when we come back for annual report presentation, we will explain the movement. So our total revenue, our mainstream of revenue is the allocation of the transfer that we get from the department, which accounts for more than 80% of our revenue at 1.2 billion rand. And that was on target. So there was no material variance between what we projected and our actual revenue generated. Our second largest stream of revenue comes from the Tonsa levy that we get, the transfer from TVCSA. That fell below target due to collection efforts. So we were 9.3 million rand below target on that revenue projection. Exhibition talks to our assets that we own in Durban and Meetings Africa, so the revenue that we generate from there. We generated almost 2 million rand more than what was projected. Grading fees is linked to what my colleague spoke to. It's linked to the target. So because we were below target on the number of graded establishments, it affects the revenue that we recognized in the financial year. Sundry revenue was above projection, and that's due to the interest revenue that we generated in the financial year. And it's mainly because we get our marketing investment up front. So when you have your money up front, there's a possibility or there's an opportunity to invest it. So the 37 million that you see there is due to the money that we invested in short-term accounts and we generated interest on it. So our total revenue, actual revenue was 1.4 billion rand, which was over by 8 million rand compared to what we had projected at the beginning of the financial year. And then this slide shows how we invest the funds that we had then generated. Our biggest investment goes to what our mandate is, which is to market South Africa. So you'll see that it goes to Program 3, where we spend more than 80%, or where we invest, rather, more than 80% of our funding. There is a variance where, on face value, it looks like an overspend. But because we use accrual basis of accounting, so it's not cash, there are non-cash items that are included in there. I have the next slide will explain the difference between cash and non-cash items. Then our second biggest budget spend is on the three pillars. So when you include visitor experience, which talks to our grading, and business events, which talks to our NCB business unit. Business enablement, the investment is on strategic research, so we've pumped money into that so that we can use insights to market South Africa better. And corporate support investment talks to all the supporting units within South African tourism, so your human capital, your finance, and IT business units. Again, on face value, there's an overspend of 46.4 million rand. But what is important is it's also audited by the Auditor General. So when we come back for annual report, there'll be verified information that confirms this. But at this point, because I have the report, I can confirm that over expenditure is non-cash. And I think let me go to the next slide where it explains. So this is where I explain the reason why actual expenditure is more than what we budgeted, because it's something that's also tested by the Auditor General, because you're not allowed to spend more than your budget. So because we use accrual basis of accounting, we have a lot of non-cash items which are listed in the table there on my left. So when you adjust for those, it shows, or it adjusts for the effect of non-cash items, so it shows that actually the actual surplus is 6.7 million rand, which is a cash value. So we spend 6.7 million rand less from a cash perspective. And then the graph on my right, shows is a graphical representation of what was on the previous slide, which is your budget versus actual, which actually shows where we invest the money that we get. So I'll hand over to Darrell.
Just to round up the presentation, just some information on our human capital. The number of positions at different levels here that were vacant and of relevance here to this particular committee. We have mentioned also the CMO and CFO have subsequently been filled. This obviously is a report for the quarter four. And then the hub head position, there was one vacant in quarter four, but that also has subsequently been filled. and then you have Ed, who is based in our New York office, has been deployed and is already in market. And then we've also included in the presentation the board meetings that have taken place for the quarter, the relevant board meeting that took place, the number of meetings that were held, the attendance, as well as the key agenda items for the purposes of this committee. We've also included in here which of our members of the board attended which meeting, as well as any board remuneration which was paid to these board members in the quarter in question. We've included and ended off here with just the abbreviations and acronyms, as well as some definitions, just to make sure we are all on the same page in that respect. And I don't know, Chair, we should perhaps just leave it there and take questions.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's Mr. Kamak. Am I pronouncing it correctly? Erasmus. Oh, sorry to confuse you. Yeah, Mr. Erasmus, thank you very much, Daryl. And then also Nombule, the CFO. Honorable members, there is this presentation. We can now engage with it. So we'll start from our extreme left with Honorable Khalid, and then we'll end here with Honorable April. We'll start with if there's anything, and then we'll end with Honorable Makude.
Chair, let us take the opportunity to welcome the presentation. Thank you for the presentation. I'm seeing that, and I'm glad to see that a lot of vacancies have been filled, and they talk about a lot of new people. So it would mean that it's almost a whole new department, if I can see by the list of things. However, Chair, I am worried that we are even listening to unaudited figures, as it were, because when these figures are unaudited, it is easy to come back and say, no, you know, I told you that this is unaudited figures, and we cannot really be held to whatever the AG would come and say on these figures when he finally audits it. I also see when they talk about the ratings and the stars that have been given to the under-target politicians, but I was wondering, is it maybe because that the market is being shared now by our honorable member state of FENP? How is that thing regulated and how is that thing, is it rated? Do you have a finger on the pulse that seems to the FDMs and those ones that is coming into the market now? And CFO, again, that thing of what is financial and what is non-financial, if you just care, just hang on. For me, Chair, please forgive my ignorance. I'm a politician, not an accountant. I would like to be explained a little bit more what is this financial and non-financial. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
The first issue, Chair, is to acknowledge from the last presentation when we met with the board, we raised some issues around the CFO was not appointed at that time. And it's important that we must acknowledge that working with that. But I'm still not happy, Chair, around the issue of the school. To hear the explanation. But if you remember in the last interaction, we requested that the board not move to speak. So that an organization which does not have a CEO, and we raise our concern that people are not prepared to take because of action. And we hear the explanation that now processes are in place to conclude, and we move to the next round, we will not get another explanation. The matter will be finalized and it will be acceptable. The second issue, Chairperson, is areas where target they have not been achieved. Yes, we are getting an explanation, but I'm not convinced with that explanation. Because an organization, you put targets, and if the board doesn't make it, it's important that the administration, including the board, must achieve their own targets. There is no way that all the time we can keep explaining that we did not achieve this target because of 1, 2, 3. Targets may not be achieved. I don't think that the next round we will get this type of information. I think those are issues that I wanted to raise because in the last presentation, when the minister was late, but I hear that the minister has also raised the issue of other members who are not present in the meeting, specifically the chairperson of the committee. So I think those are issues that I wanted to raise.
Thanks, Honourable Member. Honourable Defender.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to bring up the issue of the CEO. So the presenter said that about 10 days' time there'd be a formal hearing. Has the CEO been given a charge sheet? The last information we had, he didn't. Yeah. And why is the charge sheet only being given now, 6 months down the line? That's my first question. And then just a few questions on the presentation, and these may be basic elementary questions, but I'm a new member of the committee. Talk about local trips. How do you get to measure this? Oh, I'm sorry, these are probably very basic questions. But how do you know that a South African is travelling outside of his normal environment? So I'm just interested to find how you measure that. And then, and a similar question is, the domestic spend. How do you ascertain that? And then also, if you could just talk about a little bit more about you talk a lot about interacting with provinces and trying to give them a fair share of tourism, but the reality is that not all provinces are cooperative. Some provinces find tourism more important than others, and so forth. How do you overcome that? How do you, are you not perhaps working hard in a province that doesn't really care much about tourism, and you're not getting the kind of return that you're getting for the amount of work that you're putting in? So you just unpack that a little bit more, and then throughout the report you've got these targets that you set. How do you reach these targets? Is there a scientific way of getting to these targets? Or are they kind of arbitrary, whatever it is? And then my last question is the grading. What's the benefit of being graded? I'm trying to understand, get my head around why. I mean, you talk about there being less places that are being graded. I'm thinking, if I have an establishment, do I really care about the grading? And what's the benefit? And are the incentives? And it sounds expensive. And I'm thinking about Che, a little dorpie with a gogo. Why would she want to spend whatever it is on being graded? It's an extra cost that she could probably not really need and still run the business. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just two questions for me. The one is linked to the grading. The Western Cape and KZN, their numbers dropped in the number of gradings that they had. And I would just like you to please unpack for us more the reasons why you believe there was a drop in numbers. Because you do say that it's obviously Western Cape, for instance, is substantial to have those numbers dropping. Why would it be the case that we're having less people grading? Or is it a collections matter? And Chair, I mean, I think this was once brought up in a previous meeting around grading. So maybe, I don't know if Chairperson, perhaps maybe at the next portfolio committee, or we can be able to have a chance to just have a presentation specifically just on grading. What are all the incentives? What are the benefits for us as for the department, as the Department of Tourism? What are the benefits for individual users? Just so that we can unpack it further, because I think that it's something I think many debaters spoke about. Also, the simple cost of grading. I know that that's a point that we and I specifically touch on a lot, so that you want it to actually be dropped completely, that cost, so that your small dopey people don't have to have whatever 5,500 rand that they must pay. The second question is, there was a decline in tourist numbers overall, and in many places around the world. Then you have the president who made a commitment around doubling tourist numbers. And I think this question was asked last time. I'm not too sure if it was completely answered. I can't remember. One of the members of the portfolio committee is how then did we get to that number of doubling our tourists? Because maybe I'm naive in terms of how that may get into a speech, but surely there's some level of inputs from the department itself. So how did we've got declining numbers of tourism? The president mentioned that we're going to double it. How is he this speaking in almost different tongues? How did we get to that number? Perhaps maybe that can just be explained. Thanks.
Sure. Well, thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the presenters. My Chairperson, first of all, what I want to understand, the brand awareness from the department, if actually they can help us to understand their campaigns on this way, on brand awareness, because it can help us to know what actually is happening. And another question is the program 2, business enablement. The target 1. But they achieved nothing. They didn't even achieve the one that was targeted. And the other one was the program 5, tourism experience. Their target was 3, but nothing that has been achieved. So if you can get that, what the reason behind that. And the other one, person is the key performance indicator. Their target was 27, but they only achieved 14. 13 was not achieved because they have actually to make us understand the reason behind this unachievement of their target. And the last one, Chairperson, is that one of the transformation issue, because if you can check the transformation in the department is not happening, it's supposed to be. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sala. I think I'm okay for now. I'm okay for
now. Sure.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm a bit worried about Africa. I see the rest, but I'm more worried about Africa, because I see on program 5, the tourist experience. No, program 4, I mean. the Africa's travel in Durban and meetings, Africa revenue was not achieved. But if you go up the first two, which talks business and international delegates hosted, is achieved. And then this is questioning the focus. This is question, is bringing the question about the focus. And I'm saying, Chairperson, there are good things happening in Africa. We spoke of Kenya last time, and I saw Uganda and others that are attracting investors and many tourists than us. Countries that are doing good. And my suggestion is, let's go and learn there. And again, Chairperson, my other proposal to boost the tourist attractiveness in this country, maybe at this juncture, as Portfolio Committee of Tourism, we may speak to the country through media statements or something like that, more especially about what is happening, to starting from the issue of this killings of women, that going deep to this current crisis of killings of Africans, and then that way we'll be talking Africa. So I think we have to go out there, and then our people should hear us. Individually, Mr. Abraham was fine. We do it on social media, we do all these things. But as collective, they must hear us talking to them. I think that we must go out there as tourism. It is our space. We know there is police, there is defense, there is this, there is business. Because, Chairperson, something that I was explaining on one of the social media platforms is that people are saying no driver from outside South Africa must drive a truck within South Africa. Ne? And our brothers, uncles, and fathers are driving these trucks to Mozambique, to Zimbabwe, to Uganda, all over. What will happen to them? Did we ever think about their safety? What about their jobs? What about their kids? So this selfish thinking, it is us who must go and get rid of it out of our people's heads. So I think, I suggest, Minister will be doing her role as a minister, and us as Portfolio Committee also we must talk to our people as we represent different people out there. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Okay, sure.
Yeah, over to you.
You know, I'm thankful after 10 years on this committee that the wheels spin very fast, but the vehicle doesn't really move forward. Maybe I should stand up a bit on and access the microphone. It's another problem with the shrimp, by the way. So, I want to ask, that's okay, thanks so much. I'm sure everyone can hear me. I mean, I'm looking at this very first page of this presentation. We all know what it is. It's the Nelson Mandela Capture Site in my constituency in Harvard.
Sorry, sir. Can I interrupt? It's not about us hearing him. It's about him talking to the system.
Yeah,
the
recording.
Yeah, the recording.
Okay, recording. The evidence can be used against you later. Okay, I'll start again. Thank you, Chair. So the front page of the document we have to peruse today is of the Nelson Mandela Capture Site in Howick. Okay, and it's one of our most iconic
tourism destinations, and there's a long story that goes with this. Many other issues, some good, some bad, but perhaps the positive thing is the brown signs that have now been put up on the N3 to advertise, and I get emails from people who say, I've been to the site because I saw your brown sign. So that's a good thing that we've done as a committee, inter-party cooperation. But on the other side of the N3, there's the Howick Falls. And Howick Falls is the only waterfall in a CBD in any town or city in our country. No other town or city in our country has got a waterfall in its CBD, and it's a big waterfall. And allegedly there's a monster called Howick that lives in that pond below. Part of the urban legend. It's actually a Zulu legend. So that place has been degraded over the last 5 years because funding has been cut, and as of last week, HUCTO, Howick and Umgani Community Tourism Organization, had not received their budget allocation from the council. It's ridden with crime on a Friday and on a Saturday, and the tourists have been chased away. And we've referred to this issue in this committee and in Parliament on a number of occasions. Businesses have declined by 40% in the area because tourists don't feel safe, and they don't like what happens in Goddard Park next to the falls. And it's a jobs issue as well. So recently, tourist buses have been stopping at a shopping center called Greendale because they won't go to the falls. And so the people who make a living there, and there's many people, local people, who are very artistic and talented, they all come from historically disadvantaged communities. Their businesses are closing down too now because they're on tourists to sell their beads and their carvings and the very intricate work, some of which is on my lounge mantelpiece. There are no tourists left to sell them to. Tourism is down by 45% in that particular place. And in the last month, the only restaurant, Kantirum, that serves all those tourism, Ray's Cafes, has closed the stores, and the Howick Falls Hotel has now closed as well. So I look at this and I say, well, we can bring all these figures to the committee, but on the ground, where it really matters, where jobs are created or destroyed, it's not working. And my question, therefore, is, short-left is part of the domestic tourism, which is a lot bigger than international arrivals, number of trips and all that thing, and it's part of the budget that SA Tourism spends to promote our country internally. My question, therefore, is, in the light of the fact that we have a number of failing resorts which ends up destroying our brand positivity overseas, destroying local jobs, adding to the ranks of the 10 million people unemployed, what are we doing as an interface between SA Tourism and the department, and indeed this committee? Because I don't want to be negative, and that's why I specifically mentioned the positive things we have done on this committee, and looking at the road traffic manual as we did, and saying there should be an exception to the rules in the road traffic manual where you can advertise brown signs on the N3, even if it's, there is an alternative route or a secondary road from that in any national road and the tourist resort. If it's an iconic thing, like Nelson Mandela's capture place, we should make an exception. The road traffic manual was changed for that, and every one of the parties represented in this committee linked hands, and we said, let's honor the founding father of our nation, and let's move beyond party politics. So we can actually, working as a committee across party lines, with the department, with SA Tourism, with, in fact, the Department of Transport, do something that's good for our country, helps in nation building, and helps tourism. All those positive things are achieved. But why is it so difficult to fix the other things? And so my question to SA Tourism is, what are we doing to address some of these key tourist destinations in many parts of our country? We could probably identify 10 hotspots in every province where that kind of inter-party, inter-departmental, inter-committee cooperation ought to take place. And is there going to be an added emphasis and urgency to address some of these problems, which will involve bringing in the local government, the council, municipality, metro, whatever the case may be, so we can actually fix more things rather than simply presenting reports saying international arrivals are down 1.3% to 1.8% from Africa, whatever the case may be? Because there's a reason why these statistics pop out of the pages, is because we are not doing everything we can to polish our brand, and so tourists turn away and they look for alternate venues. And the solution lies within this committee and the officials and the goodwill of all the members of the different parties and everybody else. It isn't within our power to fix this, but I'd like a sense of what we're actually doing proactively to link SA Tourism with the department of this committee to actually address this kind of problem. Because it's heartbreaking to look at this front slide, chairperson, and know that there's a hotel and another resort that's affected. Now, the hotel has been closed down, a restaurant that's closed, and there's more people without jobs as a result. And it's so easy to fix. So that's my heartfelt plea to this committee as a question.
Yes, Chair. Thank you for the presentation, and thank you to the previous speakers. Chair, let me start by saying, let me thank this committee for going an extra mile to try to respond to the challenge that's facing the country as we speak. You see, Chair, when there is a crisis, there is no uniform way to address the crisis. But it's good that we landed up saying there must be an all-inclusive approach to respond to the challenge. You see, Chair, in this sixth parliament, there is something that we are doing differently. There's vibe also in the tourism space, also in the tourism committee. It's for the first time that we had a workshop that was also extended to our provincial counterparts. It's also a bonus for Parliament to prioritize this committee. You know, we are not talking about quorum. We are talking about members of Parliament attending this committee. It means they are starting to be aware. They are starting to, Parliament is starting to prioritize this committee, putting it in its place that it's supposed to be. You see, Chair, when the department or the entity comes here for a presentation, we are not only going to ask questions, we are going to have suggestions, make input, because we are trying to influence the political principals and those that are leading the departments and the entities. We have the experience of what we see on the ground. And as parliamentarians, we are also South Africans. We are also living in space.
Yes.
We understand what is happening. You can observe how the concept of small dormitories and rural tourism, village tourism. Now the minister is starting to talk about it. It means when we talk, they listen. That's what we encourage as members. You see, Chair, what comes to my mind now is this concept of the fourth industrial revolution. How prepared is the tourism sector? What are the benefits? What is there? How will it affect the labor? We must all make our people ready, because we are in this fourth revolution now. Everybody is talking about it, but are we prepared? Is the sector prepared for that? And also, Chair, I'm beginning to like the manner in which we approach things. We can't be doing the same thing, applying the same approach for more than 15 years. We must change things. We must change thinking. Coming to the presentation that was made, let me start by saying it can't be correct to have in your planning 27 KPIs and you achieve 14. There's 13 unachieved because there was budget attached. It means there's somewhere a rollover because there was budget. You have to ask yourself, were these KPIs measurable? Were they achieved? This goes with planning. You must not plan what you are not going to achieve. There must be reasons, there must be whatever. But when you talk of the concept SMART, it must be SMART, so that you don't give reasons for you not achieving. You just achieve, because it's not us who planned, it's you who planned. So we are not waiting for reasons here for you not to achieve. You must see it coming, that we are not going, and you go the other direction so that you report here what we have done, because we have seen it that we are not going to achieve this target. Let me also congratulate those that are newly appointed, the board members and so, because we had a concern around the issue of vacancies. Now that we are reporting progress, well and good, let's just have them. We are saying you must up your game so that you don't bring that bad practice to, because you were reporting on your fourth quarter performance. So gone is that. Now we are starting with it. We are going to come back on your first quarter performance. So don't bring those bad practices to the new, please. Also, somebody talked off the short left. You also introduced the We Do Tourism. So it means there was something that it had meaning to the communities out there, the short left. So it means your strategy or your campaign must come closer. It can be a mixture of whatever and whatever, so that people are beginning to be aware and also taking part in whatever you are planning as an entity, because you are tasked with a very important, with huge budget to market South Africa, with huge budget. I was also worried when there were provinces that did not bid. KZN was not there, and other provinces there. It was Gauteng, it was Western Cape, but there were also new, small towns that were also shown there. But what about other? What is your role to sensitize those provinces? Because there is potential. The KwaZulu-Natal Pro has got potential. Why did it not show there? You see, Chair, we must always think out of the box. The people outside there are becoming frustrated. Why they burn the roads, what they do every day, it's because they are frustrated. They have nothing to do. They are frustrated, they sleep, they just wake up and go and burn and do whatever. We must try to, as to have everyone taking part in the economy of South Africa. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. So I think my colleagues have almost covered most of the points that I wanted to raise, but mine was around page 15, talking to the tourism target not achieved. I think we've got a serious challenge as far as that is concerned, especially when you put targets, but with budget, of course, but not achieving them. You can have reasons for not achieving, but that talks also to poor planning. I think it's high time that we get our planning right, so that we, because as much as we don't want to be antagonistic in terms of our approach, but it can't be a business as usual. So we need to change the gear, make sure that whatever we do responds to the challenges that are facing our communities. So, Chair, I just want to say that we must get our planning right. We must make sure that when we set targets, those targets are met, and there must be compelling reasons for targets not to be met. I also want to agree with Honorable April that moving forward, we must also take a collective approach in terms of making sure that we market, you know, South Africa. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I'm going to refer us to page 27 of the presentation. page 27, it says reasons for actual expenditure being greater than the budget. I have a concern here, Chair, because this is the first sign of the institute that is leading to bankruptcy, if it had to be confirmed by the AG, because the deficit is not a good sign of being in a very
good financial state. Therefore, how is the department going to survive going forward if these figures are confirmed by the Auditor General after the audit? And what happened to the budget of the unachieved targets if we have to be in a deficit as well, but also having not achieved the expected targets as planned? The other one is there a plan to deal with the future overspending or any austerity measures to avoid future deficits? And this, when what I'm observing here, they are actually mostly spent on employee-related provisions. So I just need to know what are the austerity measures to deal with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Makubela.
Thank you. It's Sheila and Shelly.
Yeah. Mother and daughter.
Mother and
yeah.
daughter. Honorable Chairperson, first I want to highlight and emphasize on the issue that has been raised by my colleagues here on the issue of the underperformance by the entity. I'm saying it's underperformance because, I mean, 52% is just riding on the border line of performance, and then you've got about 8 targets that were not met, which means really some of your planning is not in line with being smart, the smart principles of planning, which means that moving forward you must go to the drawing board and see where you have underperformed and see how best can you pull up your socks. Because I think as the portfolio committee, we would not be always understanding towards your non-performance, you know, as we do our oversight. And then the second one, I thought the entity was going to be very upfront with the issue of travel advisories that are issued around the globe, around visiting South Africa. Because that on its own tells you that in the coming quarters, you are going to have a decline on visitors that are visiting South Africa. As much as we understand that the acting CEO, Madam Tay, is on a roadshow to market and ensure that she speaks the message of coming to South Africa as a destination of choice, I thought we were going to be at least given some brief on what messaging or what is your turnaround strategy around a good messaging that you are doing. You know, I'm just honourable chair thinking ahead of myself to say also in the electronic space, you know, your Twitter, your Facebook, what is the very much a positive messaging that you are putting out there, because these people that give this travel alert and advisories work on this very same space. So how many people are engaging around positive messaging of SAT? Can we be able to quantify that and be able to ensure that we turn the situation around? Because when it means this 52% performance and decline in visitor arrivals, it's even going to be more in the quarters that are going to be following, Chairperson, unfortunately. But at least if SAT can tell us what positive messaging, so that we as the portfolio committee can also, in the spaces that we are in, also message that messaging that you have put together, or the package that you have put together in positive messaging of the brand South Africa and South Africa as a tourist destination of choice. And then the last one, Comrade Chair, is around the issue of the bid, what you call a new bid that we have seen, like your small dolphins, like your Zanin coming in, putting a bid for conferencing. That speaks to the geographic spread that we have been talking about throughout. And I would want, at least perhaps from the manager, I see Madam is here, who's in charge of what you call a Conventions Bureau, to tell us what is it that Zanin has done that other towns, like your Mpumalanga, Nelspruit, you know, like your Northwest small towns, have not been doing, you know, so that we at least are able to advise and say, yes, Zanin, it's in Limpopo, it's a small dorp, but it's also now putting in bids to host conferences. What is it that they are doing so that we can advise and ensure that the other small dorps and the other small towns are able to emulate Zanin, so that we can be able to actually see the results of the geographic spread. I rest for now, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Makubela. From my side, it will be more on suggestions. And the reason why I'm doing so is because there's a transition between the new and the old, between the fish and the sea. Because basically this is the last part of the fish that we are wrapping up. So going forward, based on the lessons of the fish, the sixth must set a very solid base for the seventh, so that the seventh can see a difference between the fifth and the sixth. And that brings me to my first point, which was raised by Honorable Makubela and Honorable Tiers. Planning is very, very, very key. It should be done for compliance. But when you have done the plan, you have to make sure that there is effective coordination and monitoring. Now, if you can do a very good plan, but if coordination, monitoring, ongoing assessment falters, you are not going to be able to achieve your plan. So the critical question then is, in the execution of the plan, what systems have we put in place to make sure that we achieve our targets? Because you should be able from the outset to realize that you are going to experience problems along the way, and then you can find ways of circumventing those possible problems so that you meet your targets or overpay. So my suggestion to you will be, over and above about planning, which you have done is on paper and so on, you may have to look at how you monitor implementation in between and what interventions do you make, so that you don't realize at the end when you come here that there were some problems with regard to planning. Which takes me to my third point, linked to planning, and my suggestion will be that you suggest that yourself to Treasury and the Reserve Bank. If we lose 19 million, according to your figures, because of variances in currency and so on, We shouldn't just say these are things of the market and therefore we can't do anything about them. So my suggestion to you will be to mitigate against this unavoidable, inevitable eventuality, because our rent will never be able to overcome the turbulences of the global economy. Please enter into discussions with the Reserve Bank and the Treasury, starting with the Treasury, around the issue of foreign reserves. how foreign reserves must be linked to tourism so that we can mitigate against this problem. This loss will always be there. This 19 million or more will always be there. But I think if in their regulations, both Treasury and the Reserve Bank can look at how, in the tourism context, we can use foreign reserves, it will help us to mitigate against that risk. So that's part of plan. Now, it will then mean that in between, some systems have to be in place between yourself, Treasury, and the Reserve Bank to deal with this particular matter. So that's the third point. The other proposal I want to make, which you may have to consider as one of your targets, but working with the Department of Arts and Culture, to add some additional activities to our tourism destinations and activities. There are, because of South Africa's history, there are people who perished in this country. Others are from Netherlands and so on. If you working with them, you can target the families of all these people who perished during the war in South Africa. They are so many. During colonialism and apartheid, and the battle between the English and the Afrikaners. All those who perished here, if we target those families, and we have some kind of a package that is linked to teaching them history and then visiting South Africa and so on, I think that will help, because that you can quantify. You can quantify the number of families that are affected, and then you can say this is our target that we think we can achieve. The other proposal, we have been saying this in this committee, and we must not stop saying it for the next 5 years, is collaboration with other departments. Tourism will never succeed if you don't win that title of collaboration with other departments. Supporting what Honorable Moteka is saying, for instance, and the minister. One of the biggest problems we have, that's why you've got problems in KZN and Johannesburg, Gauteng. It's an economic problem, which is linked to poverty. Right? It's the problem that comes from scarcity. Now, scarcity levels are so high in our country and in the African continent, in as far as survival resources are concerned, that everybody is after the little that is there. And as a consequence of everybody being after the little that is there, there's going to be conflict. This conflict will take different forms, and we'll think we are dealing with this problem when actually we are dealing with the actual problem is a poverty, which is a consequence of problems of the economy. So, this department that deals with SMME, small business development, Yaha Minister Kumbuz, I think you must have a very serious discussion, because in Johannesburg, that battle is around the SMEs. There's no battle between massive big companies in this country, unless there's a legal battle on how to accumulate more and more, because they're fighting their costs, right? The physical, real physical battle that involves life is at an SME level. And it's not helping us a lot. It's affecting the image of the country. So our rebranding, repositioning, and renewal of the South Africa globally is going to falter. So this is one of the suggestions I'm making as part of the committee contributions, that that department, you have to work very closely with it. It's linked to what Honorable Gumbi raised earlier on around the decline of grading in KZN and Western Cape, because in passing you said it's linked to SMMEs declining in as far as compliance in that regard is concerned. Now it means if those people, because our marketing of these destinations and places is linked to the grading. If the grading becomes poorer, it means the attraction levels are going to decline. And when they decline, it means those small businesses are going to perish. If they perish, they are going to join people who are causing problems in Johannesburg. So it will be in Western Cape now and KZN. Because their businesses will have collapsed. And what is the other problem they are going to face? They are indebted to all the banks, and their properties are going to be auctioned. And then they can't take care of their offsprings, their extended families, and so on. You now have a social problem in society. So it's not just about grading, which I want to add to what Honorable Gumbi was saying. We need to unpack that grading. What were the causes? And if it means we must zoom into each one of them, it's also about how it falls. As Honorable Krumbeck was saying, I mean, if a hotel is closed and SMMEs that were selling there are no longer having that opportunity and so on, it's a build up towards a bigger problem of instability that we are going to have. So tourism department has to get into a war within the executive to say the consequences are just too huge if we don't deal with some of this problem. So we'll support you in that campaign. I also want to suggest that it's linked to what the Honorable T.S. was saying. The fourth industrial revolution. If we go village by village, township by township, small dorpy by small dorpy, and we say to the youth there, we want to come up with innovative ideas using your smartphones and all other things that are there, tools at their disposal, in the innovation space around tourism, and you make it exciting for young people. You can do it through schools, target the schools, and competition in schools or whatever you want to do, because I think these big companies that are involved in the tourism sector, including the banks, must help you with the prices. You should target all the schools in the villages that are competition. That money doesn't have to come from you here. It must come from the big guys, the Thompsons of this world, right? It must come from them, and then that's how you will push innovation. Right? Village by village, township by township, small dorp by small dorp. Now, from those big innovative ideas from our masses on the ground, you are going to make a great leap forward. That's how one of the things we could do around the fourth industrial revolution. It will also push the Department of Education, a Department of Science and Technology and other departments that are relevant to make sure that there's access to Wi-Fi. Because if there's no access to Wi-Fi in the villages, it means they can't compete. Okay. And those young people will be able to rise and say, you can't go on with the competition until we get an enabler, which is Wi-Fi, for us to compete. So it will don't put pressure on them to say there must be Wi-Fi in those particular areas of South Africa, particularly where poverty is very, very high. So I'm suggesting that we do that as a department. The other proposal linked to that is, in your thoughts, because we are talking about the fifth, replacing the fifth. Look at creating a village, township, small towns, vibe, tourism vibe, right? Village, township, small towns, tourism vibe. So every village must be vibe. Somewhere there must be a vibe. Every township there must be a vibe, and every small town. That will help us to push people from the big cities.
Yeah.
On a campaign to do, I don't know which honorable members to give about short left. So the short left will now be taking Bogumba Gumba from the big city to now to say this is what people do in a village. You can now visit a village, you visit a township, you visit a small town, a small dorp. So that we push our own people from the big cities. Currently movements are from the villages,
yeah,
the townships and small dorps to the big
cities.
So if we turn it around and create things that can attract these people from big cities to go on their own and visit the villages, the townships and the small dorps, the small towns. One of the things that we can suggest, I once had this discussion with Gary Play. When the apartheid government was building small dorps, small towns, they did one thing that was very good. To make sure that all of them have got golf courses. All the small towns in South Africa have got golf courses. So if you introduce as part of pushing tourism, small dorps, golf events, and you don't have to spend your money. You go to these big guys who are money in South Africa, and you make sure that every small town has got some event around golf. That's how we'll also push our people from now the village and township to go and do some golfing in the small dorps because they are closer to them. They are closer to them. They can do that in Springbok. That's what I'm saying. Do more mobilization with the guys who have got capital in this country instead of depending on what you get from. I'm more on the revenue side. You spoke about revenue, CFO. On the revenue side, these guys can contribute to pushing our number forward. And then it's going to be institutionalized. Because I was saying to Gary Player, but then I was speaking as a premier of Northwest. What makes you think that you must come here, have the NetBank Golf Challenge once a year in December at San City, and you say nothing about the townships and the small towns and the villages? And I was saying to you, you'll have to use your mind and build up towards your annual San City NetBank thing to introduce golf in every village, every township, every small door again. The winners must compete with your international guys at San City.
Mm.
Exactly, and that's huge marketing for those parties. So those who win, those golf automatically qualify to get into that particular space. So we can do it nationally because the small dorps are all over South Africa. And these guys who are involved in golf, I'm sure they will be prepared to finance some of this activity so that we don't, when we deal with the fourth quarter next year on the revenue side, we still talk about the revenue streams only being TOMSA and the department. There must be multiplicity of revenue, tributaries, right? Tributaries of revenue that you should identify, and you bring them here, you say, honorable members have identified this tributary of revenue, and they are 38. And we are going to have 38 meetings with them. Next year when we meet, you say, each one of them has done so much and our revenue percentages has gone up. So you must be brave right? Fearless. We need fearlessness from you, and make tourism exciting. And I think if we do that, we'll be able to achieve our... Other than that, I can tell you now, from treasure, you'll never get a substantial increase. Because the mindset, there's a problem of mindset in cabinet and in the treasure. Now, that mindset change to deal with grown-ups who have got mindset problems on how they see tourism. You're not going to change it now. That mindset. You can try with young people as they grow older, they get used to tourism. Maybe they will approach it differently. But how do you change Minister Mboweni? I've seen in his document where he talks about tourism. There. Nothing extraordinarily radical right, in that document. So the mindset is going to change, is going to be different. So what you must do, the push must come from the outside. And those revenue streams, the Thompsons of this world and so on, let them contribute, all these big hotels, your Sun Internationals, all of them must contribute. And if they don't contribute, TS, with honorable members, will stand up in parliament here and make noise about it. That they're unpatriotic, they're unsupportive to tourism, they don't want to cooperate, and we'll call them to say, the department says you must cooperate in the following, you're not doing it, we'll squeeze them from the committee until they relent and give that money, that support. So we'll say to them, want to look at your budget? That's the private sector. Thompson, Palapan, must bono go to Upechene. You know, budget. That's part of those revenue tributaries, which will have to develop as a department. So, lastly, I just want to say, please, when you plan, be very deliberate on monitoring execution. How every step of the way, you must make sure that you achieve your intended objective. So if you were a private company, as Honorable Makubira was saying, performing at 51%, that private company will be almost what the SABC is facing. Right? Possible risk. An FAA, possible risk. Now, because you are not a company, you are a department. But I'm sure you understand the context. We shouldn't be under 97, 98. We must be very close to 100. And it's easy to do it. We don't have to go to the moon. Yeah. Those are the proposals and comments from my side. The opportunity is now to you to respond.
Thank you, Chair, and honourable members, for your comments and questions and suggestions. There are many of them. I'm going to try and address a few and then hand over to Nombalolo on finance, the specific ones of finance, and maybe visitor experience and quality assurance. And many were suggestions too, Chair, so we'll take those. I think a lot of them relate to the issues around intergovernmental coordination and how we make things happen on the ground, which is a big challenge, and it is something we all need to do better, I think. But let me start with a very specific question about the CE's charge sheet was delivered to him on the 24th of July, Honourable Member. Okay, so it was a while ago. And the disciplinary starts on the 13th of September. In terms of targets and performance, which you've all raised, understandably, look, we've also been having a bit of a discussion with board and with the executive, because one of the challenges in marketing is that sometimes there are other factors that don't just relate to your marketing but impact on tourist arrivals. So firstly, to address if it's the arbitrary targets, they are certainly not arbitrary targets. We have a modelling framework we use called the Marketing Investment Framework. Oxford Economics has helped us with that, and they're the ones who do the World Travel and Tourism Council modelling. So it's the best practice globally. It takes into consideration a whole lot of things, and with the best available information has to then look at projections. But just to elucidate some of the factors. So in terms of tourist arrivals. These are the things that have to happen for us and elsewhere in the economy and globally. So obviously, our efforts in South African tourism. How well are we making choices and executing them? So that's Albert. But then there are other South African factors like visas and crime and perceptions, and we've discussed those as a committee. That has a big impact. There's also the in-market factors. So, for example, if we try and increase tourist arrivals to a country and it goes into recession, less people are going to be traveling abroad. That's completely outside of our control. And then also, how well are our competitors marketing? So if we're competing with Thailand, for example, or Australia, what are they doing? What are their budgets in that space? And then, of course, we don't actually sell South Africa in the sense of selling a package. We do the marketing and the branding, but industry converts. We call it conversion. So they've got to actually then sell. They've got to make the meeting land. They've got to sell the package. They've got to sell the tickets from overseas and so on. So there's also industry's role. So I'm not making excuses. I take your points completely around the targets and performance. But it is a very complicated issue in terms of all of the things that need to happen for us to achieve our targets. Perhaps what we need to do is come back to you, and I know we're having this discussion, and reflect a little bit on the targets. And I'm sorry Bashni's not here. She's our Chief Strategy Officer, and she's been doing some work thinking about perhaps some new targets that we have a little bit more control over, that are a little bit closer to us. Because it's a huge issue, and it's not just an issue for South African tourism, it's an issue for all the national tourism organizations around the world. For places like Australia and Kenya, wherever, everyone's thinking about this a bit. To try and, of course, you want the big number of arrivals and spend, but you also need to manage your risk around being able to assure that you can get there. I want to talk about the PPGI number that the President announced in the SONA. So yes, we were involved in that, and it's partly based on our data and then assumptions. My understanding is that it's deliberately quite aggressive because it was what we can do as a country, where we want to be. So it wasn't business as usual. It was an aggressive stance. And it assumes that all the barriers are removed. And as you, Chair, and the members of the committee are well aware, a lot of those barriers are not tourism barriers. Those are, again, I don't want to be boring, visas, security, airlift, which of course we are a little bit more easily able to influence, but a number of things. So we are, as SA Tourism, and I know the department is also involved, and obviously the ministry, looking at how we can get to those numbers, and we've been doing some quite detailed exercises to pursue them aggressively, because we really do, of course, we're completely committed to tourism growth, tourism numbers and revenue for jobs in this country. We're all committed to that. So when the timing is right, we'll be able to come back with that. I think I'll hand over to my colleagues now to deal with some of the visa.
Thank you, Chair. On the question on why we're presenting unaudited figures for quarter four, it's a timing difference. So from a PFMA perspective, the quarter four report was due in April, so it was before the audit. And the audit report is only due in July. So this report that we're presenting is a report that was finalized in April as per PFMA deadline and submitted to the Executive Authority and Treasury in April. The reason we reiterate that it's not audited is because we now in September, sitting with an audit report that was given to us by the auditors in July. So we already know that there's movement, but that can only be presented when we come back with the annual report presentation. On the question from Honorable H1 as well on financial versus non-financial information. So how we prepare our financials is governed by accounting standards. And where we are different from a department is that we don't use an accounting standard that talks to modified cash. So you recognize stuff based on the cash that you pay. Ours is a accrual basis of accounting. So it would include certain non-cash items, for example, depreciation and amortization. So it would show in your income statement as an expense that there's no cash movement. And that's the reason for the last slide where you explain cash versus non-cash. And it's actually the slide that's used by the AG to check whether you're over your cash budget or not. So that's the basic explanation. There are departments that use a cash standard, so based on cash you do your accounting, and then there are public entities that use what we call accrual basis of accounting, so you accrue for certain non-cash items as well. And then on the question from Honorable Gumba on a deficit being a red flag, it's true. I mean, normally a deficit is a red flag. But I can assure you in this situation, I think just touching back on what I explained on the cash versus non-cash, that it's not a cash deficit. So I take your point. A deficit is a red flag, but there are other financial analysis that you do to assess going concern. So going concern is when you check if your assets are more than your liabilities. And sitting here today, post an audit, I can confirm to you that we received a report from the AG that our financial health is positive. We don't have solvency issues. We don't have liquidity issues. I just confirm that we don't have going concern issues. You asked about how do we plan to deal with future deficits. It's something that we check on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
So the most important thing for us is to make sure that we don't have cash deficits. Because you'll always, because of the accounting standards that you use, you'll always have your non-cash items in your income statement. But the trick is to always check them and make sure that they don't materialize at the end of the financial year as cash deficits. There was a question around most of our non-cash items talk to employee-related provisions.
Yes.
It's also governed by an accounting standard.
Mm.
So while you have employees in any financial year, if they have leave days at the end of the financial year, for leave that they have taken, for example, you need to provide for that. If they have, we have a post-medical aid retirement benefit. So if you have employees that work throughout the financial year, come year end, you need to provide for that cost. It's a potential liability. So it's not actual cash, but from an accounting perspective, you need to provide for it. I think, and then the last thing is the recommendations and proposals from the chair, which we take. Fully agree with you with additional resources. I think in this year we are fully aware of our current state of the economy, and we know we can't be getting or asking for more from Treasury. And I mean, the thinking back at the office is how do we use the assets that we currently have? So you're in the Avani, South Africa, to generate additional revenue from external strategic financial programs. Take it.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps I can ask Amanda to speak to the questions relating to South African National Convention Bureau, and then I can wrap it up there.
I think there were two questions. Maybe I'll start with Indaba and Meetings Africa. I'm getting now halfway sit here with
okay.
member. Thank you. Chair, I think with Meetings Africa in Darbo, it is trade shows that we bring in we are calling it the biggest trade show on the continent with the most products, or tourism products. And I think what is important, just on what Nombalelo also said, if I also said, is that we really are looking at how can we make it more sustainable? But at the end of the day, I think the most important thing for us to understand is that we have a mandate to assist also our tourism industry to help us to sell. I think our board member, Kate, said it very nicely that, you know, we are so dependent on each other. And so we are not, Meetings Africa as well as Indaba is not for us a commercial in a commercial action that we are taking. We are really creating a platform so that we can reach those numbers. So I just wanted to make that point. However, we did do a study through our analytics team, and the people are actually wanting to come to Indaba, and not just South Africa, the rest of the continent. And they do see it as an opportunity to not just grow their businesses, but also, of course, to help us to reach the numbers. So there is an ROI study, and it's really a very positive study. And if we have an opportunity once, Maybe after Indaba or before Indaba, we can definitely come and present that. Then just about our, you know, what did we do different that Tanin can come? I think in the fourth quarter you have those cities, but or smaller towns. But if you look at other quarters, you will see that we are having in Mpumalanga, in Northwest, you know, where there are even the Free State, where there are smaller towns or smaller cities, I rather would say, that are now starting to come to the bidding. But what we are doing specifically is working very closely with these provinces that don't have necessarily a full-fledged convention bureau. I just have to say that if you look at Cape Town, Cape Town has a convention bureau from the year 99. That is how long they exist. You know, so it's they do have advanced. You know, they advanced much further than the rest. But what we are doing is the National Convention Bureau, and I think for the past 5 years, it's really working closer with the provinces where they are not so strong in having those services. And we do see an increase in different places now. The other thing that we do, and it's linked back to domestic tourism, is specific looking at a national association strategy, where we are assisting these provinces, the smaller provinces, now to look at national associations. And I'm talking about the nurses and the doctors and, you know, all these different associations, professional associations, for them to start to rotate around the country. And I, like I said, I think the previous time I said to get them bit fit, not fit bit, but bit fit. But, you know, for them to be able at the end of the day then to start to also bid for the smaller international meetings, because, of course, it also is linked with infrastructure. You know, we can't move 5,000 people to a place that is there no airport that can handle those kind of numbers. So there are specific strategies that we try to also install for the people. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'll do my best to wrap up and...
Can I make a proposal before
yes.
you wrap up?
Certainly.
The Indaba. For me, it must be a culmination of Indaba. We have how many municipalities in country? 241. But 270 something, right? Please engage the municipalities so that you can have those 270 something municipal based Indaba. Right? Now that's 270 something opportunities for tourism and entrepreneurship. And it must be known throughout the world that you don't have to wait for the Durban Indaba. There are all these 270 something Indabas in Durban. From there it must move to the district in Indaba / Metro, right? And then from there you have your national in Durban. It will have created a national vibe throughout the year so that people can, awareness can also grow. And it will grow, also increase our opportunity for South Africa that time and strengthen that short left, short left campaign, so that we enhance it, as Honorable April was saying. And for me, it will be a very big national fight, because if I'm an entrepreneur in MLO, I will look at this 277 and say, okay, I don't want to go to my municipality. I want to go to Mpumalanga, because I think I will do better in the Mpumalanga. The Mpumalanga one might decide to go to the Free State one. And it's huge throughout the month, throughout South Africa. People know that there's municipal tourism in Durban. And remember, they go with all these other things, workshops, discussions, colloquiums, and all those particular things. That's how we'll also show people opportunities for investment in other things. You know, all these 270-something municipalities. So by the time you arrive in Durban, you are just breaking. Right? You are just breaking, because you will have done so much work. Your website will be shiny.
and all the other platforms for marketing will be excellent. So please consider, you don't have to spend money just to talk to me, but we can help in the talking to them. The chairperson of COCTAS is next door to my office. I can talk to him quickly. And you talk to the Minister of COCTAS yourself through your Minister of Tourism, and we launched the municipal tourism in Dabas, where all municipalities are going to sign and say we are now going to host tourism in Dabas. It's not their money. They just call the private sector and other people who are interested to come and showcase what they have. What they must do is provision of many other amenities which must be there. It will then push departments that deal with infrastructure to make sure that the necessary infrastructure for us to then grow this in Dabas slowly, 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 municipal in Dabas. So in future, whether international people come or not, we are on our own, we are strong. On our own, we don't depend on them. If that variable goes out of international, we can stand on our own, because we are a strong pillar. Over to you, man. You can wrap up, my friend.
Thank you, Chair. I'm loving all the great ideas that are coming out.
Inform your planning.
Thank you, Chief Tate, one of our board members, who's given some input here. Perhaps maybe just a suggestion from a target-setting methodology, from the way in which we plan, it might not be a bad idea for our Chief Strategy Officer to look at putting together a document that nicely explains the way in which we go about investing from a market investment framework, as well as the econometric modeling, as well as how we go about setting targets. I think it may be beneficial, so we're happy to look at that as well. Chair and members, thank you for the questions, specifically the ones on grading. Honourable Gumbi, I think you mentioned the potential of having a session specifically on quality assurance, and we would welcome it, definitely welcome it. There's many moving parts within the grading space and the hospitality space, and there's very many different factors that affect the grading of properties, and we would love the opportunity to share our current state and where we're looking to go as the grading council. We also would use that opportunity to talk about costs. Costs at the moment on average is about 3,500 rand a year to get graded, but we have got an incentive program that runs through the tourism incentive program team at the department, where you can get up to 90% off of your grading fee. So that 3,500 can easily become 350 rand a year, which becomes a lot more palatable for these small businesses. There's various reasons across various provinces, across various metros, that determine why properties are necessarily ending their grading. Some of them might be they're doing extensive refurbishment. Some of them might be, unfortunately, like the Howick Hotel, where they've lost this tourism traction in a particular area, and those small businesses just simply cannot afford to continue. In some cases, you've got products who previously used to rent out their particular properties on a night basis, per night basis, who change their business model and start long-term rentals. And for long-term rentals, grading is less important in that particular space, so they relinquish their grading. But I think it would be very beneficial for us to spend a bit of time potentially with the committee explaining all of those in a lot more detail. So, as I said, we'd welcome those. Just running down the list, there was a comment about how we integrate with provinces from Honourable De Freitas, I think. And it's about the carrot and the stick, and obviously we take the carrot approach. We're very fortunate to have extensive data, which is generated and captured and analysed by our strategic insight analytics team, and often that helps exceptionally with the provinces in terms of directing their spend and their investment from a tourism perspective. There are many other things that we do as South African Tourism that are of benefit from an exposure perspective, marketing platforms, partnerships as well, that we use and share with the provinces. We have a number of fora with the provinces as well. There's a CEO's forum where the CEOs of the relevant provincial agencies sit together and determine the most appropriate way forward. One of our board members was a previous CEO, so I'm sure she's familiar. We also have the marketing forum, which is slightly rather for the marketing teams within each of the provinces, again, where we try and find collaboration and synergy between what we are doing at a national space and what they can do and emphasize at a provincial space. So there is quite a lot of integration happening from a provincial perspective already. Our board member spoke to PPGI, so I won't go through that. Amanda, you spoke to African Travel in Darba. In terms of the comments about the 14th Industrial Revolution, Honorable Teiko, you mentioned, is the, your question was sort of, is the industry ready? I think of all the industries, we are adopting and adapting a very tech approach. A lot of travel is moving online, online travel agents, online platforms, the likes of Expedia, TripAdvisor, and there's a plethora of them, are becoming more and more prevalent. In South Africa, we are working on a new exciting application, which is going to help us to link and monitor what tourists are doing and spending, where they're going, through an application called Journey, which you may have heard of, and I'm sure we'll hear more of as we go along. And then something as basic as grading standards and adopting and taking into consideration enhancements in the tech space, and making Wi-Fi a minimum requirement at specific star grading levels is as basic as we go in terms of adopting the importance of technology and driving, helping drive the fourth industrial revolution. We take on board also your comments about shoplift. I think it's important that the committee also knows that the domestic team, the extended shoplift team, have the Shoplift Travel Week, which is being, which will be launched shortly and will be active from the 23rd of September to the 29th. Basically what that is it's an opportunity for anybody who wants to travel to buy specific deals of up to 50% off travel products on the Shoplift Deals dashboard for that entire week. It's like a Black Friday, but it's a travel week for us. And it's about giving opportunities to smaller business to really get that exposure, but it's also about addressing issues of affordability. So being able to make things, you know, at half price, 50% off, a lot more affordable to people who previously wouldn't have been able to. So that's a big thing that the domestic team and Shoplift team are focusing on for this particular month. Bidding Amanda has spoken to, Honorable Krombok, you spoke about integration between the committee, SAT. We work very closely with DDG Chetia at the department, which is responsible for destination development. Is that what she, I think that's her director. And the destination development team are, it's their mandate and their responsibility to see how we can continuously evolve and improve various different either routes or areas in the country. And then we, from a support perspective, focus on the marketing and obviously the product within each of those areas. So there is some integration happening. Is there room for improvement? Absolutely. And we're happy to take guidance and to get more involved or more involvement from members to see how we can try and improve that going forward. But definitely. Perfect, we'll take it offline. Happy to do it. Thank you. And then I want to... another member left, but she mentioned the travel advisory, which I just want to speak to. In the particular quarter under question, there were travel advisories issued by Canada and America, if my memory serves me correctly. Mm-hmm. And obviously the team on the ground, which is our team based in the US office, do quite a lot of work with our trade partners in market, as well as obviously the relevant media work that they need to do in order to try and counter those particular travel advisories with positive stories, positive perceptions of South Africa, and try and encourage people to continue to travel. So there is work being done in country from a PR perspective as well. I think perhaps just in wrapping up your comment, Chairperson, on the vibe in the small towns and the Dorpies. As one of the other members mentioned, in 2017 we launched the We Do Tourism Movement. And the We Do Tourism Movement is not something that's owned by South African Tourism. We created it for South Africa, and all South Africans should own it. And it's about all 50, I think we said it's 58 million now, the latest census numbers, all 58 million South Africans, how do you identify with tourism, engage with tourism, and make tourism your business? So what would be beneficial going forward, and I know the board have identified this We Do Tourism Movement as a priority going forward, is how do we take that We Do Tourism Movement and make it very relevant in the small towns and in the villages? And we will need to partner with village, small towns, and I should know, because we partnered about 2 years ago with the... And the reason I know that, Chair...
Because four months, when you go to step, it's in sequence.
Yeah.
That's how it is. The biggest in village, then followed township, then the small town.
I've got it. We actually partnered, the Grading Council partnered with the Northwest Department, and the specific focus that year was DSTDs, if you will.
Yeah.
But yes, we definitely will take that to heart and see what we can do from a leading tourism perspective in terms of driving the importance of tourism and getting people to recognize tourism as an opportunity in their various different areas and regions of South Africa. So I'm hoping we've covered all the questions, and we thank you very much for the comments on our planning. We are in a planning process at the moment, as our board member has indicated, so we will definitely take the comments from the committee to heart and try and be more specific and more smart, is what was mentioned earlier. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rasmus, the CQAO. CQAO, Chief Quality Assurance Officer. CQAO. Our CQAO.
Yeah.
And you have all been great.
Yes.
So pleased
to be. Mr. Aprile and Ms. Honorable Aprile and Honorable Interpreter, please wrap up.
No, mine is just a simple comment.
Okay, can you?
A small comment, Chair. I want the department to take the portfolio committee very seriously. We have not an antagonistic approach towards you, but you can't come and masquerade Cape Town to a 110 beds and Gauteng 9 and others. An error like this, bringing it to the portfolio committee and being an official document, is something that I cannot forgive, because when you come here and you make something that is 1110 and you tell us it's an error, but we accept it. Tomorrow it will be said that 110 was Cape Town. Tourism was never about Cape Town, it's about South Africa. Be careful that you don't do that.
Good.
No, Chair, I just wanted to raise two issues for the next intervention. I will be very happy, Chairperson, that the person that did the strategy, when they come and present in the next portfolio committee, they will come with an accurate plan. How they are going to take all the ideas which will be presented in the portfolio and put targets on the base. When we'll be implementing all the plans. Because Chairperson will keep raising these issues, but if they are not integrated to a document, they will remain ideas. And those ideas will never be used. The second issue, Chair, all the big cities in the country, which is they are now metros, they were built by people from villages.
Nothing.
I mean, it's not like a holy spirit. That today there was an area that called Johannesburg, Cape Town. Therefore, there can't be any effort. We can't build. We can't take tourists to any other area that small, because those people will not have capacity. It's because there was an effort to build those areas. And that's why when we started with this new chair, that we want to focus on villages, we want to focus on townships, we want to focus on small towns. Because we've been going around the country and our people, they have been complaining. They have been complaining, and look, the manner which they are now responding, because they can see that we are not communicating to them. We are not talking to them. We are still doing things the same way which we have been doing in the past 25 years. Therefore, our people are sick and tired of this presentation, which is they don't talk to them. It's important that the board, as they will be going back, they must realize that our people are sick and tired. Including these meetings that we always call them, Chairperson, it's important that some of these meetings, we must take them to the village. This presentation, if we are serious about, if you indeed, Chair, as you always tell us about villages, small towns, and your township, if indeed we, as a portfolio committee, we ask them, other meetings, they must go to the village. Mm-hmm. And we can then, our people, will, after all those interactions, we report, and then we can talk to our people. People will then understand that these people are taking us very seriously. But you are doing well. You have been integrating some of the issues. The minister, she We don't just want comments. We want practical action. I'll be happy one day when we'll be now reporting back and say all the matters which have been raised by the portfolio home, these are now the best of our fees. So I thought it was important I must raise those issues because I can see that there's mentality that even for the next 25 years, Cape Town will remain Cape Town, Johannesburg will remain Johannesburg, Durban will remain Johannesburg. There will never be any effort. And that's why the chair said, I'm not saying all of us must die, then new ideas must come. But I'm just saying there must be an effort from the board and from all of us, working together, because it's not about us and them. It's not about the portfolio committee and the board and the department. We must work as a collective, work as a team. We'll win what we want, so we work as a team. But if we work in silos, we are not going to succeed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me appreciate the responses and at the same time agreeing with the previous speaker. Because, Chairperson, what we talk here, it must be put into the book, planned and executed. So we understand now we're talking about the previous term last report. But going forward, I think our language of rural townships and small properties should be on the plan and budget allocated to it. And we mustn't forget that we also previously demanded a report. Because in the PPAs, there is a report where they talk of the plan of investing in the rural areas from 2012. We're still waiting for that report. We want to know from 2012 how much focus did they put to that plan and how much money they used, and then where are the tangible results in that rural area? Which rural areas can we visit them? And when we talk of tourism in the rural areas, we don't talk of just an event, it happens and that's all. We want tourist areas where we know in Ramashasha in Limpopo, Capricorn region, there is a place there where you can go enjoy yourself with your family and all that. Those are the things we're talking about. And Chairperson, we spoke of the report is talking about unachieved, which amounts to 30. There was a budget for those things. Why are we not told about what happened to that money? Because if it was not done, then what happened to the money? We can't be too understanding forever. Our people they need answers from us, so we gonna need answers from the accounting officer. The last bite, Chairperson, is that as a committee, we agreed that we are going to launch the community, the village, township, small dorbies, oversight council. So we need to put the plan on that. I'm a person who, when we speak, I write down, then we can follow up on that. So we can't just speak. So, and then we want to know when are we going to start with those things. Of course, it will need a lot, so we can't do everything at the same time, but we need to identify some areas where we can start doing this thing. So we know, as the Sixth Parliament, we these are the things we are there to do, and we start now. We're not going to cry in the last year and then say we could do it. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think this is not the first time we get a visit from South African Tourism Authority, and most of the things which were raised by Chair in particular, because I see the passion
that our chair has in terms of tourism, which I'm also enjoying because I love tourism. Chair, I would wish to see in the next coming meetings, like my colleagues have already mentioned, that we want to see a draft concept document. I'm not sure if I'm calling it correctly. A document that is conceptualizing what the chair is imagining and what to see happening in rural areas, townships, and dorpies, and clearly outlining how the process is going to unfold, so that we also have the understanding that, yes, our advice is really taken into consideration by the authority. Chair, I would also wish to add to the concept where I would also propose that we also look at the mentoring of the micro businesses, mentoring small businesses also. That also must be reflected into the document to say, how are you going to ensure that established businesses are also becoming part to monitor, mentor small businesses that are going to be actively involved in tourism. And also, I also want to encourage, there was a proposal or an activity that was happening previously where you find that bigger hotels are adopting small bed and breakfast. I also want that to be revitalized and also be put on action back again, because I don't think it is still being followed up, and that was a very good concept as well. Thank you.
CQAO, Chief Quality Assurance Officer, Mr. Erasmus, just one deposit in your brain, imagining the Department of Education must give you the total number of schools. And if we have a minimum of at least 2 trips per year per school, it's a huge, there are trips, right? But they're on a casual basis.
Yeah.
It's a huge number that South Africa must report and appreciate. Over to you. But we agree with honorable members, I think. When we discuss the draft APP, we'll want to see some of the things here featured. Now, very soon we are going to be visiting the Holy Falls as the committee. And yet we are going to KZN, Mataba, as Chief Chair was saying, to be part of your activities of Tourism Month. So when we go there, we will make the Holy Falls one of the places to visit. So you might have to, working with the municipality there, do some agent tourism miracles so that we can appreciate you. By the time we arrive there, I don't know whether it's a department you have interacted with people whose business have collapsed there, big and small and so on. To hear from them how that, and so that we don't theorize how that has affected their lives and so on. So it will be one of the things we are going to be doing. But also as a committee, we are going to at some point call all the controllers of big capital in the tourism industry. And we are going to ask them difficult questions about investing their money in the villages, the townships of this country, and the small towns, the small dorps, so that we make it easier for you. it's not going to be a nice engagement with them, because we are going to push them hard as part of CSI. So that CSI is not just confined to the affected, but they have to go to, I mean, these big capital owners in South Africa, if they were to adopt these townships, they will resolve some of the problems we have, so that we reduce over-reliance on the state. But that we'll discuss with them. We're just showing you that we're going to be engaging them.
Okay.
Yes, because Thompson must contact me. Thompson to calculate. Yeah, okay. Honorable Krumbeck?
No, I just wanted to support you, Chair, and ask when you do that, please just include me in the correspondence, because that is the place I represent.
Yeah, you are there already.
All right, you're not going to say it. You don't need me on top of the
room. Yes. No, we must deploy him somewhere else. You can't go that way.
Okay. If you want to comment, you want
to... you are there. All right. Honorable members, we are now taking this opportunity to extend our heartfelt thanks to the department for the constructive engagement and for the honesty that you displayed here. Even when you made mistakes, you did confess to say we made mistakes. That's why Honorable April was very hard on his right. Because those mistakes have to be corrected. Somebody must do the proofreading. There are people who are employed for that. Right? Proofreading of the... That's quality assurance.
Yeah.
That's quality assurance. And all the ideas that have... The engagement, honorable members, I think we are getting there. They are very good ideas, just things of grading and so on. And I think by 6 to 8 months from now, we'll have made covered a lot of ground as a tourism team, meaning yourself and ourselves and every body else. What Honorable Moteka raised earlier on is a decision we took in one of our meetings. There'll be a document we'll adopt on that will become familiar with it, because we want to push tourism from the crowd. From the ground, so that when you come and tell us things here, we will have received a report from every village. So before you come, we'll be very ready on information that comes from Kakamas. You know Kakamas, Honorable Sitwa? Honorable Ibrahim, we must go to Kakamas. Kakamas is in the northern
Cape.
Almost closer to the northern part of the Western Cape. They deal with grapes. They deal with it's one of the popular small dorpies in South Africa. It's called Kakamas. Why they call it Kakamas? I don't know.
The
wine and so on. There's river streams that go through. It's not just the Kakamas, the great. But I think one day, Honorable April, you must take us to Kakamas.
Beautiful.
As part of the portfolio committee short left tourism tour. To go to Kakamas.
I can take you to Kakamas. I know
in the northern case. Otherwise, we want to thank you very much. Let's maintain the relationship. The way it is. CFO, congratulations to the CFO. You must become a revocrat from how you manage finances. It means you must go beyond what the books are telling you. Because if you don't do that, you will not be able to rattle that department. You must rattle it. From finance management point of view, not fighting people, but just making sure that you rattle the department. Because honorable members are right, if there are unachieved objectives and budget was attached to them, we have to account for that portion. Yes, so
if we unachieve, it means there must be money that corresponds with the unachieved.
Mm. Yes.
To say this couldn't be started.
That
is going to happen. When we rolled over, or was there a reallocation, or during the adjustment budget, or what actually happened here? Other than that, honorable members, especially members from the department, still we are now releasing the official.
Mm-hmm.
Honorable members, we are going to go into our last item of the committee. There's no announcement of the item. I want to take you to Kakama. I think we must go to Kakama.
Kai Harit.
Yes, Harit. I've been wanting to go to Kakama.
When there's time for planting and harvesting, everybody goes to Qatar.
What's going on?
Yes. So these people that the truck comes and they just throw themselves onto the car, they bring the truck to do the Qatar. That day, that right day, people pull into the truck and the truck went to Qatar. I had to deal with that problem at this time. It was a difficult problem. You don't know who are these people, their relatives, their IDs, we couldn't trace them. And so.
No, I remember the story.
Exactly. They went to Kumalanda. There was no problem.
And I remember others, I'm sure they were from Zimbabwe, who couldn't pass your province.
Exactly.
And no,
they just saw the truck and they jumped into the truck. And when he asked them, why did you get into the truck? We thought it went to Kakama. They don't even ask the driver. So the truck went to Mpumalanga. It became a big crisis. People like this are
dead. Yeah,
but anyway, it was a
result. Chairperson, I was just talking to my colleague here. This thing of violence, the updates are seeing is now into the townships. Katlego, Munisi section, Meduza, and Fosloras. It is there now.
In our study group, I want to say a lot about that. Yeah, it's a problem. Honorable members, we will now give to Mr. Boltino to take us through the small adjustment in the problem.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Chairperson. Thank you so much. Honorable members, we have done a slight adjustment in the program of the portfolio committee as it was adopted before. Members will know this. If the committee has adopted the program, then we don't have any other way to amend that without getting the endorsement from the committee. So what we want to indicate to members, last time we indicated to the committee that today on the 3rd of September, we will have the SAT to present their business model to the committee. In our interaction with them and also the Office of the Minister, we found that some of their key people, like the board chair and the acting CEO, were still abroad. And also they were indicating that there is also a lot of work that still needs to be done in that area. So we have agreed that let's rather today they bring their fourth quarter performance report, as it has already been tabled to the committee. And then next week, it will be the department that will also bring to the committee its fourth quarterly performance report. The reason we are doing that, honorable members, we want to make sure that in October, we know that we will deal specifically with annual report. There won't be anything that will disturb us in between where they will present the quarterly report and also present the annual report.
Good.
Because sometimes some of the figures and numbers, they tend to fall away.
Mm-hmm.
So we have agreed with the chair that we will do it that way. Today is the fourth quarter performance, and then next week it's going to be the department. And also, we have also given the last Tuesday, the 17th of September, we have given that slot to the Office of the Auditor General. AG wants to talk to the committee about the trends in the sector and also explain a number of issues that will take us through to the annual report of the Portfolio Committee in October, honorable members. That is the slight adjustment that we have done to the program. Otherwise, the program still remains the same as your program, honorable members. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, but remember, Mr. Bolsino, we have now added
Yes,
that's what we'll add. Which will go with the launch of the tourism, but we'll go there a week before the date of the department's event, so that we do some oversight there. Honorable members, one of the ideas I discussed with Honorable but I think I did bounce off that idea, is to, over and above us going as a team to do overtime, we must also have a provision where sometimes, maybe once or twice a year, we will go to all the provinces, the nine provinces. It means here we'll go 1-1 or 2-2, something like that. Will be joined by the chair of the Portfolio Committee of Tourism in the province.
Yes.
And the members of that Portfolio Committee in the legislature,
yes,
will join you when you go there, right? It means that's the team you will lead when you go and do oversight in your province. And then we'll have covered the whole country in that particular space. So each one of us will then come back and report on how the oversight work went there. The staff of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism in the legislature will be the one that will accompany you there to do administration on your behalf, and also as an advanced team. That's what they will then do. So we're going to be calling a meeting very soon with the chairpersons of Tourism Portfolio Committee to establish what is that structure, by the way, Honorable Makubela? We have given the name. What is that name? No, the acronym.
It's LETOFO.
LETOFO.
Oh.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Yeah. I need to, when you bring parliament and legislature together, they are called the legislative sector, right? So we are a sector.
Mm.
So that's why we call it, we have suggested it must be called Legislative
Tourism Oversight Forum.
Okay.
Yes. So it is us with chairpersons of Tourism Portfolio Committee in the provinces, right? and underneath them, they will then have at all municipal level, those structures you're talking about, Honorable Minister. Yes. And then through our tablets, we will have a link with all of them. So that when we want something, we just press the button and then say, it's all a young into from Alfred Tunso, from the ground.
Yeah.
Direction here. I'm taking that direction to intensify this thing of tourism so that people don't come here and mislead us. But we get it from. But also, it's important to use the ground to put pressure for certain things to happen on the ground. For the poor. For the poor. The reason why those things are happening now is getting worse in Johannesburg. As I said, people are fighting over the small little resources that are there. Yes, that's where the and companies like your Blue Ribbon will make a lot of money because they produce grain.
Yeah, so
right. So all so we need to change. That's why I was saying to them, they must talk to the Department of Agriculture. Because, for instance, these people in Katlehong can produce their own bread. The bread doesn't come from Blue Ribbon. A lot of them will have jobs because they must wake up at 2, Balungi say Dehi, and so on and so on. And then they can have cash on a daily basis. What we do is that to teach them to manage their books and the small company. So we will have to push from the tourism side this thing because it's impacting badly on us. So the adjustments, we agree with them on the program. Agreed, Honorable Member?
Sure.
Agreed.
Okay. Mahrid.
Mahrid,
yes. Honorable Members, I now take this opportunity to thank you deeply from the iota of my heart for the success of this particular meeting. The meeting is officially adjourned.
Thank you, sir.